A lot happens when we trust the Lord. He told Moses, I am. And God is the I am for anything that you need. You need healing, I am. You're already healed by the blood of Jesus. Jesus said in Isaiah, by his stripes you are healed. You need love? Jesus is love. He is the I am. Jesus is our joy. Jesus is our peace. He is the I am for anything that we need. And we are adopted into the I am. I am a child of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am of a royal priesthood. I abide in Jesus and he abide in us. Therefore, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, because the I am, if you just trust him, the I am is all that you need. Hallelujah, Jesus. My. Don't they sound good? Woo. I always say they sound good because I'm not up there with them. They haven't invented the key for me yet. Watch it. Don't y'all laugh so heartily. Stop it, Pastor Steve. Woo. Praise God. If you can have fun in God's house, you can have no fun. Joyous time in the Lord. He and Reverend Kitchens just cracking up over there. I wonder why. Praise God. Moving on. It's exciting to be here today and to celebrate our Women's Day and to celebrate each of you, both male and female. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be? Because he is the I am. I'm not going to do that again. Okay. Our occasion will be by Deaconess Doris Gordon. I'm sorry, Deaconess Gwen Macklin, followed by our memorial service by Dr. Robin Tucker.
Giving all praises to God this morning, to our pastor, Pastor Steve, our first lady, is she here? There she is. Good morning, good morning. Good morning, New Hope. Ladies, today is our day. A day to honor and to celebrate us. As black women, we are very familiar with struggle, sacrifice, and hard work. But do we understand why we are here today celebrating Women's Day? A day for us to take the leadership reins, sit in seats of authority, and honor those who have paved the way for those of us still on the rise. A day to celebrate the little wins as well as the big successes. A time to celebrate the young as well as the old. We have a lady named Nanny Helen Burroughs to thank for fighting to establish such a day for us. As a young girl growing up in Virginia during the late 19th century, Nanny Helen Burroughs wanted to change things for women. After graduating from high school, Burroughs wanted to become a teacher, but no school would hire an African-American woman. During that time, the only jobs available to black women were those of domestic workers. Finding nothing available outside of domestic work, Burroughs took a position as corresponding secretary for the Women's Convention Auxiliary to the National Baptist Convention. She served in that position from 1900 to 1909. Burroughs was a tireless advocate for women and devoted her life to issues surrounding women's education and personal development. And in 1906, she proposed the creation of Women's Day to the leadership of the National Baptist Convention to remedy the exclusion of women participating in most church activities. Her proposal was accepted, and on the last Sunday in July in 1907, the first Women's Day observance was held in Nashville, Tennessee. Today, Women's Day is observed in all religions and in various ways, although the main focus remains to give women a chance to serve in leadership roles. It is also used as a means for fundraising and to spotlight female ministers of the gospel. Here at New Hope, we also get a chance to enjoy our always awesome Women's Day Choir. And this year, we're also in solidarity with International Women's Day, as purple and white are two of the three colors of International Women's Day. These colors originated from the Women's Social and Political Union in the United Kingdom. Purple signifies justice and dignity, green symbolizes hope, and white represents purity. Our scripture this year is a well-known verse of the Bible, but I wonder how many of us are actually living that scripture. The definition of trust is to believe in the reality, truth, ability, or strength of something or someone. So if we break down Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it would read something like this: wholly and securely rely upon God's wisdom, power, and goodness, and upon his providence and promises for the direction and help in all your affairs. Do not attempt to accomplish your plans by the strength of your own understanding. Without God's blessing, in everything you do, know God. Know his power and his goodness and his wisdom. Follow his counsel and expect success from him while managing your actions in a way that will please and glorify God. Then your ways will be safe and good, and you will have success. I want to encourage you today, regardless of your situation, lean into God. Lean into God. Tell him openly and honestly about every feeling that you have, whether it be worry, fear, anger, disappointment, shame, whatever it might be, God can handle it. And not only that, he is ready and willing to help you. So on this Women's Day, let's not only trust in the only one who is trustworthy, but let's celebrate each other with everything we've got. Amen.
Good morning, New Hope. Morning, Pastor, our First Lady, Sister Steve, and all the ministers on the pulpit. Happy Women's Day, New Hope. Today is our day. Now's the time that we set aside a moment to remember all of our ladies who has earned their wings and have gone home to be with the Lord. Psalms 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saint. Today and always may our loving memories of these ladies bring us peace, strength, and comfort. These ladies are gone from our sight, but never from our heart. Here's the list of our ladies. Sister Carrie Hostin, Mother Mettie Berry, Deaconess Marjorie Stevens, Sister Barbara Campbell, Mother Belle Jones, Mother Ella Strong, Mother Mamie Wetterton, Mother Dreole Guyton, Mother Leola Wyatt, Dr. Joyce People, Deaconess Shirley Hightower, and Mother Equilla Hackett. For all the ladies whose name I may have missed, God knows your name. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and praise God. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank Sister Wissett for the invocation, Sister Thornton for our responsive reading, Sister Nicole Steed, for our scripture, and this fabulous choir, and for our occasion, What a Mighty Word, Deaconess Macklin, and our memorial, that was Dr. Robin Tucker, and the support and the help of Sister Marjorie Lawson. And we do miss them. However, we know that we will see them again for those of us who've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We will now, drum roll, have the announcements and acknowledgement of our visitors by our own the Reverend Dr. Rav Steed. Woo-hoo!
Praise God. Amen. We give our honor and praises to our Heavenly Father. Amen. To our presider of order, Dr. Reed. Amen. To our speaker of the hour, Dr. Rich. Amen. And to all of the clergies in the house. Amen. To all of the officers, to the mothers, others, usher, saints, and friends, and to First Lady and family, amen. My son and wife, Jeremy, is here today, and Tierra from Alabama, amen. We're happy to have them in the midst today. All right, this is Women's Day, amen. All women, please stand. All women, please stand. All women. Don't they look good? Don't they look good? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We honor you today. Amen. Thank you so very much. You might be seated. Amen. And we are honored to have a woman of color who is running for state representative in District 4. Amen. And Sister Edwards, we're going to have her to come at this time and just say hello to you and introduce herself to you so you'll know, amen, that she is in the runnings. Praise God. You might come.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Come on and give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. In this place on today, I thank God for being here on today. I thank God for being saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, and running for my life. Amen. Praise Amen. God. You know, 2 Samuel 23:3 says, "The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoken to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." So I thank God for being just on today. Amen. I am Montanea Edwards, and I'm running for an open seat. It is in District 64. It's a state house of representative district. It actually covers West Douglas County and come all the way up here to South Paulding County. So it includes Douglasville, Winston, Villarica, Hiram, and parts of Powder Springs that falls in Paulding County. So why am I here and why am I running? I'm running to take a stand for you. I'm running to serve. I'm running on godly principles. okay? I'm a graduate of Morris Brown College. I went to Morris Brown. I went on and graduated with my master's in public health from St. Louis University School of Public Health. And with that, I'm in healthcare. And so I'll keep it brief. So being in healthcare, I work for a biopharmaceutical company. And so what I notice is that we're the only country that allow them to gouge us. You can go to the UK, you can go to Canada, and you know, they're not gonna let you charge their citizens certain amount. So one thing on my agenda, because this affects us all, is to lower prescription medications, right? Another thing is we have over a million Georgians that do not have access to health care. So I want to work to expand access to health care. Georgia has the second highest rate of women, black women, die three times as likely to die from pregnancy than our counterparts. So we need to make sure that our women are taken care of. My mother was an assistant and driver for Mrs. Coretta Scott King. And also, I was a youth member with SCLC when I was growing up. So the King family and the Reverend Laura family has been very instrumental in my growing up and who I am today. So I just ask for your support and your prayers. If you don't live in the district, just pray for me. Because my faith is deeply rooted in prayer. Amen. Amen. So thank you so much, and get out there and early vote. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Praise
thank
God.
You so much, Reverend Steve. God Pastor Steve.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Amen. We thank God for her, and it's just good to see a woman of color. Amen. Taking a stand for things that are right. And as she stated, early voting is going on now, so make sure you get out and vote. Amen. How many voted already? Praise God. Come on. All right. I voted last Wednesday. Praise God. So let's not fool around with this thing. There's too much at stake. Amen. All right. We only get what we go after. You can sit and be silent if you want to. Amen. But you're going to be on the end of the totem pole. Come on, somebody. Amen. So let's get out and vote. Again, we thank you, Ms. Edwards, for coming and sharing with us today. All right. We just want to make sure that you understand that we are having Sunday school in-house. If you would like to come at 9:30 and be a part, you can do so. We'll still be doing it virtual, but we want you to know if you want to come and be in person, you can. Praise God. We had a very good lesson this morning taught by Deaconess Brooks. Amen. I say to Deacon Sams, you got another teacher. Praise God. Amen, amen. All right, all of our visitors, will you please stand? All of our visitors, please stand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen, amen. Oh, we're so happy, elated, and honored to have you with us today. Amen. Thank you for coming and sharing with us today. We thank God for you. And our prayer is that we will say something or do something that will help make your day and week a little bit better. Amen. Amen. We're happy today to have Minister Pimpton here after, amen, the homegoing celebration of her father. Amen. I think many more should do that after you have a homegoing celebration. Be in church. That's the place that can lift you, amen, and help you in your time of need. So we honor you today for being here, and our prayers are with you and the family, amen. God bless you. All right, let us keep in prayer also all of those on our sick and concerned list. Pray for Deaconess Sam's mother, Julie Ingram, in your prayers. Keep her in your prayers. She fell and broke her hip. She had surgery on last week, and praise God, the Lord say so. She'll be 94 on Wednesday. Amen. So please keep her lifted in prayer, if you will. Amen. Keep praying for Sister Lowell Jackson as she recovers from a knee surgery. I think I saw her. Praise God, she's here today. Amen. Amen. Keep her lifted in prayer. Amen. Sister Ernestine Clark, who's recovering from cancer, and also the Stewart family and all the rest that is on our sick and concerned list. Amen. Please keep them lifted in prayer. God bless you. We want to thank you all once again for your commitment and dedication of the giving of your tithe and your offering. We really want you to know that we don't take that lightly. Amen. During the pandemic, you have been so faithful, and we want you to know that we thank you, amen, for your commitment, and just keep doing it. Amen. Praise God. All right, back into the hands of the Mistress of Order.
Praise God. If you would just add to the sick list, Sister Lakeisha Cherry, she injured her knee. I saw her come in the back there on the crutches. Also keep in prayer, Sister Doris Hammonds. She had a root canal done, and pain was excruciating, so that's why she's not here with us today. So just continue to pray with and for each other. You never know what a person is going through. It might be emotional, mental, physical, psychological, or even spiritual. But God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything that we ask or think by the power of his spirit working in and through us. Now we will be blessed with the Women's Day tribute by Sister Toni Winston.
Good morning, New Hope. It is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Woman of worth. You're a woman of worth, loved perfect by the Lord. Excuse me, loved perfectly by the Lord. Be a woman of wisdom, your life fully based on his word. Be a woman of worth, of wealth, as you store up external treasure. Be a woman of warmth, giving and loving in bountiful measure. In valleys, as a woman of weeping, discover his wellspring of joy with praises and singing and prayer. The works of evil destroy. Be a woman of wonder, how God is working in and through you. Let your wisdom and wealth bring glory to him in all that you do. Be a woman of worship. He alone is worthy of praise. In everything, give thanks. Always your voice of true freedom raise. Let your sweet winning smile, your warm welcome heart, show others what life's all about. Don't be a woman of worries, of fears, frustration, and doubt. It is through God you can do all things. His strength is yours each new day on this earth. Let no one persuade you to think otherwise. You are a woman of worth.
Thank you. You got to know that you know that you know. Because if God says you're worthy, you are worthy. Hallelujah. This afternoon, our speaker is Reverend Dr. Carol Rich. She's an associate minister at the Second Baptist Church in Douglasville, where Reverend Dr. E. Leroy Brown is her pastor. She is a former senior pastor with 17 years of experience in congregational leadership. Committed to shepherding individuals to Christ, engaging the community in missionary work and community outreach, and expertise in pastoral ministry, education, and mentorship. Her core qualifications are in congregation leadership, the GMBA Christian Leadership Instructor, active in community outreach. Reverend Dr. Carol Rich is a retired operating room nurse. I'm sure she's seen a lot of stuff in the operating room. You needed some Jesus and Mo Jesus. She is a mother of two, grandmother of three, great-grandmother of two. She is a native of Pensacola, Florida. Go Florida. Her educational credentials include the following: Bachelor of Science in Nursing, Master's in Biblical Studies, Doctorate in Ministry. She is licensed and ordained in the ministry, an unashamed ambassador in chains. She is affiliated with the following professions: President of the FMBA Women's Auxiliary, Regional Chaplain of the National Organization of Women Achievers of Atlanta, known as NWOA, Certified CLS Instructor, Board Member of the Carol Douglas Bible Extension School. Her proclamation to this calling is best described in the words of Marie Stewart: I believe for wise and holy purposes. Best known to himself, he hath unloosened my tongue and put his word in my mouth in order to confound and put all those to shame who have risen up against me. Reverend Dr. Rich knows that God has called her to courageously represent the kingdom of God through teaching, discipleship, evangelizing, and service to others. She takes seriously the scriptures, prayers, and the call to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before God. Micah 3:8. So the next voice you will hear after our fabulous choir sings this song of praise will be that of the Reverend Dr. Carol Rich. Please receive her. Thank you.
you to stand up on your feet. Give God some praise in him. Give him what he's due. Give him what he's due. Give him what he's due. Yeah, Son of Man. Then his blood with the word of God. I got it, I got it, I got it.
the way to Baptist Church. Praise the Lord. You may be ready to preach, but they got some praising to get on. Spirit filled. Awesome choir. And this brother over here, I tell you, he was gone. Holy Spirit is moving in this place. And young people say, you better recognize. Better recognize. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a church, you're going to see the difference. I don't have much preaching to do now. Y'all are already on fire. All I got to do is a fan the embers. I thank God this morning for the opportunity. When I look out at this audience, I see what a great crowd you have here. COVID thought they had us, but we got away. And ain't no stopping us now. I think I heard a preacher say COVID was a way also for God to purge his church. Some members you won't see no more. They'll tell you they're watching it on TV. But we don't know what God has planned for his people during this COVID. Because it was for more than one purpose. It was to cleanse the church. See, sometimes we think the church is growing, but it's just swelling. So God says he wants a people of his own that he know that's going to serve him, that's going to trust him, that's going to walk with him through thick and thin. And I thank God for the opportunity this morning. You could have gotten anybody else, but I'm so glad that you asked me to come. And I'm going to speak to us from a word this morning. I want to first of all give honor to the pastor of this church, Reverend Steed, and Lady Elect. I don't say first lady because if you say first lady, that implies to me there's a second lady somewhere. I ain't got nothing to do with your business now, but I'm just saying. So we say Lady Elect. And to the ministers and all of our co-laborers in Christ Jesus, to the great women of New Hope, what a program you have here. I'll take some notes for our Women's Day. And to the visitors, to the friends, and to all of you who have come to worship with us today. I love your theme, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct your path. I love that scripture. Because I'm going to tell you a short story. All of us got stories to tell. But I'm going to give you the version of version here of the Message Bible. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's word in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Amen. That's from the Message Bible. I thank God that you chose such a powerful scripture. I am so glad that I don't have to listen to the Proverbs 31 woman. I'm so glad that we've been delivered from that, because how many of you can truly say that you're anything like that Proverbs 31 woman? I don't think so. So once we get out of that and we get to some real meat of the word, that means so much to us. I want to say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you, Lord, for having us to come and bring a word to your people. I ask you to humble your servant, dear Father. Let the Holy Spirit have his way in this place. Heal us and help us, dear Father. Give us a word that we can take with us. And bless us, Lord. Bless us with your word. We thank you for all that you are doing in and through our lives. We thank you for Jesus, our Son, and the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, dear Father, for the anointing. We ask you, dear Father, to touch hearts and change minds, dear Father. We ask you, dear Father, to keep us and watch over us as we go through this word this morning, dear Father. Help us. Help your servant, dear Father. I need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to speak to you from a subject that is relevant to your scripture this morning. I want to talk to you about trusting in God. Mainly it's about you've got mail. You've got mail this morning. Scriptures from 2 Kings, verse 19, starting at verse 10. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by utterly destroying them. And shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed? Goshen and Haran and Respa and the people of Eden who were in Teresa? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Zepharim, Hena and Ivar? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messenger, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the king of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. I'm going to skip down to verse 20. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah and saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. I'm going to skip again to verse 35. And it came to pass on a certain night, listen to this, that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were corpses, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. Now it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch, his god, that his sons, listen to this, Adrammelech, and not exactly pronouncing it right, struck him down with the sword, and they escaped into the land of Ararat. The Asheron, his son, reigned in his place. I'm talking about that you've got mail. Greatest challenge for us is to live in with the absolute assurance of God. We live on a planet that there's so many doubts. So much is going on. You think about where, how far we've come, that evil seems to abound. Every time you turn on the news, there's death, there's destruction. But this will happen to us as long as we're on planet Earth. Check your zip code. If it doesn't say Pearly Gates, then you're still down here with the rest of us. You're still in the middle of this cosmic war that we're facing here. And that means many of people, me and you, will fail. People will fail you. People will let you down. Only God is worthy of your complete trust. I'm still learning that lesson. After many years of walking with God, I'm learning to just trust. This scripture was important in my life in 2008. Y'all know that's when we had an economic collapse, if to say the least. I lost $82,000 in 401k. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know anybody that could loan me any money. And on top of that, the hospital, Southwest Hospital, which was the only black-owned and operated hospital in Atlanta, closed. So a group of black doctors came in and took over, but they decided they couldn't pay us any longer. So instead of giving anybody layoff, they just, if you would, just said, wait, we're going to open again. And that went on for months through major holidays. I didn't have any money. You know, nurses usually don't save anything we spend. We're like beauticians. We spend it when we get it. So I had to try to understand why God had me in this position. And I walked into my bedroom, and I stood at the bedside, and I heard the Lord say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's all I had to do. And that began the story of how much trust that I knew that I could believe in the Lord. The Bible teaches us about an instant in which King Hezekiah received a letter from Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. And he wanted complete surrender. He was like Putin. You know what I mean? Putin is in Ukraine. But he wanted to, first of all, display his military strength. He wanted to show the people just how strong he was. So his great army had already captured Samaria. They needed to capture Jerusalem. And Israel has been separated already from the other two tribes. So here they sit. Samaria has fallen. Great empires have fallen also. The Assyrian army was a ruthless army. If you ever read the story about the Assyrians, they were the most ruthless people ever. They would skin people alive and then take the skin to the walls of the building. They were a very ruthless people. You ever wonder why Jonah didn't want never to be saved? Jonah knew something about this people. So Jonah was reluctant because he knew if God saved him, so in verse 10, the Assyrian army is coming. Sennacherib had an evil commander that he had sent to mock Hezekiah's people. One day, King Hezekiah and the children of Judah looked over the walls, and suddenly the valleys was full of Assyrian people, of the Assyrian army. So imagine how that was. In verse 15, King Sennacherib sent his commander over to King Hezekiah to talk basically about your surrender. Hezekiah sent out his people to talk with this Assyrian commander, and they engaged in a loud conversation, if you will. You know, that's how your enemy would get loud when you're in front of everybody else, just to show you off. So the Assyrian commander began to harass the Israelites by bragging about the strength of their king and his power. So they asked Judah, who do you think you are to withstand this great and powerful nation? Verse 11 and 13 says, we're calling for your full surrender. We want you to know that no army has been able to stand against this Assyrian army. We are strong and we are powerful. It's just a matter of time. We've already captured 46 of your cities, and your nation is gone. Israel is gone. Samaria is gone. And you're next, Hezekiah. So King Sennacherib needed Judah in order to get to his next attack, which was going to be on Egypt. His commander is really disrespecting Judah, and he's telling them that's just a matter of time before I take over this nation. He tells them, you're going to surrender anyway, so give up. Nobody, he says, has been able to stand against our army. He was so full of arrogance and prideful that he offered Judah 2,000 horses if Judah had 2,000 men that could ride them. Isn't that something? He says, we know how weak you are, so just give up. Sennacherib's army had great military success wherever they went, and they had captured and conquered many other cities and nations. They would conquer the land, they would destroy the king. They would set up sieges. You know, that's the way Russia started with Ukraine. They gather around a city. You can't get out, so you're starved to death. But God has a way of no matter how bad the situation looks. God said, I've got some news for you. The The Bible said that his horses and chariot marched right down to the gates of Jerusalem. That's pretty bold. And they began to call out, "Let the king know we have come. Send him out. We're going to utterly destroy Jerusalem," it says, "and all of Israel." But Sennacherib didn't know who he was dealing with. All he knew was his military past, but he didn't know what God had for them in the future. He'd been able to conquer whoever he marched against. But this time, he wasn't marching against a people that had idols made of wood and stone. They were marching against a nation that had the true and living God in their midst. They didn't know what God was going to do. Even Hezekiah didn't know what God was going to do. But he was about to see that it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I know that we're not fighting against those kind of battles. We haven't got any hate mail from Sennacherib. But thank God, when we do get mail, we understand who's in charge. You may have gotten some foreclosure notices. You may have gotten your divorce papers this week. Perhaps you got a letter from the electric company. Maybe you got a letter from the water company. Perhaps you even received a letter from the doctor's office that says, "Come back for further testing. We see something we need to examine further. We detected something." But my word is to you, is to trust in the Lord. Trust in him and lean not to your own understanding. In this hour, the battles are great, and they're serious for the children of God. They're just as serious as the military battle was for the nation of Israel. In fact, the greatest battle that's ever fought is in the battlefield of the mind. So they were getting into the mind of the Jerusalem people. We have all fought those mind battles, haven't we? You can know sometimes when your checkbook is overdrawn, but it doesn't trouble you so much until you get that letter, that notice that you're overdrawn. You may know that the IRS knows who you are, but it makes a difference when you receive that letter from the IRS. You know when your name and your address is on it. It makes it all real, doesn't it? Sennacherib sent a message after messenger to the king. You'll have to read a few chapters of this to really understand the threats and the boasts that he made. Finally, he thought to himself, "This is not getting through to you, Hezekiah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you a letter." He sent for a scribe to come and put it down on paper. He knew that was going to make a difference when he put it on paper. He put everything in writing. The letter says something like this: "Hezekiah," he says, "you may as well surrender because it's just a matter of time." I can't call Sennacherib a liar, Hezekiah said, because I know that the history of what he's done speaks for itself. They do win every battle they fight. They do possess every nation that they go after. He knew that he couldn't change the military record, the Assyrians, but he said he's only able to destroy the gods of other nations because those gods that they're throwing in the fire are just idols. It's just wood. But Hezekiah did not lean to his own understanding. He knew that Sennacherib was about to come face to face with the real God. He was coming against God's chosen people. King Hezekiah knew that God was getting ready to get in the face of Sennacherib, and he was going to show him the power of God. He just folded the letter back up, and he folded that letter, and he went straight to the house of the Lord. Hezekiah said, "I don't need to handle this matter, for the letter belongs to God, not my mail." So he said, "God, you've got mail." When you think about it, he didn't get depressed and stay out of church for 6 weeks. He didn't go back and see if there was another refill on his Xanax. He just went to the house of the Lord. And when he went into the house of the Lord, he didn't have to call no psychic. He didn't have to call the hotline. He didn't have to call Miss Rudolph. He went to the house of the Lord. He just goes and he spreads the letter out. He says, Lord, this is your mail. This is not my mail. Hezekiah needed assurance that would only come by being bold before God. This was like saying, okay, God, read this mail. It's not mine. It's up to you, Lord, to do something about it. So the Syrian army outnumbered them. They knew that. Hezekiah took the letter. He spread that letter before the altar, if you will. And he said, Lord, read this mail. That's what we got to do sometimes. Take the letter to the Lord and let him read it. He spread that letter out on the altar. He says, my God, you know what to do with this. I don't. You have all the power. So I'm trusting in you. Only a miracle would do here. Do you need a miracle this morning? Well, let God read your mail. Trust him with it. An old preacher received a letter once with no sender, no return address on the envelope. When he opened it, he saw a single piece of paper. It only had one word on it. It said food. So he took it to the pulpit the next Sunday, Dr. Steve, and he said, I received an unusual letter this week. Never before have I received a letter where the writer signed his name but forgot to write anything else. So Hezekiah prays to God. He knows that what we have need of before we even ask. Prayer is our avenue of release. Prayer is like praise. It releases to our own spirit. When we're bound up and tied up, tangled up in the pressures of life, what sweet release comes when we take it to the Lord. We're not telling him so he knows what he's telling us what he's going to do. Although it's sometimes prayer, we don't know what to say when we get there. So the Holy Spirit has to make those groanings and moanings for us. So I can imagine Hezekiah being so troubled, so afraid, so he said, I can't even tell you what's on my mind. But I just want you to read it and see what you think about it. Because they're fighting against you, God. If you engage in battle against God's children, you're fighting God. So when we look at it, sometimes we try to run our prayer life like we try to run each other's lives. We know all the answers. We're leaning on our own understanding. We want the seat in the house without the service. We want the praise without any pain. We want the glory without the gloom, the title without the position. We think that just because our name wasn't on the program today that you're not going to participate. We want all of that without performance. We want the crown without the cross. So prayer is a release. Prayer is so that we will not hold on to that problem any longer. But when you look at it, Hezekiah had every confidence that God was going to do something. He didn't know what, and he didn't know how. So he placed that letter on the altar. And when we trust in God, listen, he said he knew that men may be slack concerning their promises, but God is never slack concerning his promises. God is not a status quo God. He operates according to his demands, not according to our demands. He does not move based on public opinion. He does not make his decision based upon the fluctuation of the Dow or the NASDAQ or what Oprah Winfrey might say. He does not receive his intelligence from the CIA. He does not call a cabinet meeting of the head of every department before he moves. He moves, if you will, mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. God had already spoken to Isaiah the prophet. And the prophet says, God says to the prophet, go down and tell Hezekiah that I'm going to give him the victory. And the Israelites was going to mock the Assyrians. Verse 27 and 28. Isaiah further tells Hezekiah that he knows all about that evil king. He says, I know exactly what he's doing. I've already been into his house, and I know the kind of kingdom he's running. He said, but I know that he's not coming down here. He didn't say how. He says, I want to know when it's going to be, Hezekiah to himself. But God said, let me get your attention, Hezekiah. Because God says, I'm going to help you. And he told Isaiah to go and tell King Hezekiah. It's not for you and I to always know. We need to put our confidence and our trust in the Lord and know that God is a faithful God. Listen, you may have papers that you don't know what to do with, things that you don't know how to handle, notices that you don't know what you're going to do about. Let the letters go to the Lord. You say to yourself, I'm tired of trying to figure it out. But why are you trying to meet the bills this month? The balance is so little you can't write one check, but you got 8 checks to write. Why don't you take that letter, take that paper, that document, or whatever it is, spread it out before the Lord and say, Father, read this letter. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I'm not going to tell you when to do it. But I know by faith I'm going to get some real answers here. I'm going to know that you're aware of my needs and my situation, my problems and my burdens, my finances and all of my troubles. So I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to lay it over there for you to read it, Lord. I'm not going to stay up at night, not get any sleep, and worry about it because I know that you've got my letter. You got it in your capable hands. I don't know how you're going to give me the victory. But I do know that victory is mine, says the Lord. I'm not going to let the devil cause me to fear anymore, but I'm going to rise up in the faith of Christ. Has God ever given you a reason to doubt his ability? When you look at it, the reason we sometimes doubt God's ability is because he didn't do it the way we thought he was going to do it. But he did it anyway, didn't he? Was there ever a time that you wanted him to heal you and he didn't heal you, but he got you some help? Is there ever a time you had the high blood pressure was so high, he didn't take the blood pressure away, but he gave you some medicine? And so when you look at it, I believe we ought to have enough faith and trust in God to believe for everything in our body. When you think about sometimes spiritually immature people bargain with God, it says if you'll do this, they have this fleece syndrome like Gideon had. Then I'll do that. If you just let me this time, then I'll do this. That's a bargaining prayer. That's the fleecing that Gideon had. Serving God is not like spending time gambling in a casino. If you love him, you ought to serve him. Don't bargain with God. Love him and serve him. I've got some good witnesses. Jeremiah says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Isaiah calls out and he says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. I heard David says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Then Solomon steps up and he says, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. We spend sleepless night for no reason at all. Put it before God. If you ever have it written down, write it down. Sometimes we have to write it down and take it to the Lord. It'll make you feel better sometimes just to write it down. Present it to him by faith. Then say, Lord, read this mail. Here's my need, and I'm going to bed. Many times he's already working things out that we didn't know anything about. So in the night, the hand of God goes down, if you will, into the camp of the Assyrians. And 185,000 Assyrians died in their sleep. The Bible says that when they rose up the next morning, they found 185,000 corpses. Not merely sick or dying, but absolutely dead. Verse 35 says, and it came to pass, the angel of the Lord, the death angel, the destroying angel, in the dead of the night, made an assault on the main body of the Assyrian army. How great in power and might must those holy angels be? When one angel in one night killed 185,000 men. There's no indication in this scripture that shows that there was disturbance during the night. No alarm, no knowledge, and part of what their living comrades were dying about, they had no clue. But they were laying by the thousand. When we think about what God is doing in our lives, you understand that God has done all of this for our favor. God must be regarded as sending the death angel and having slain them in their sleep without even causing a disturbance. The destruction was only at one time, but in one place. So can we spread out our letters, those letters that cause us so much pain? To Nancy Rabb's report, I'm not going to believe the devil's report. That's whose report I'm going to believe. Take that hate mail and let God read it. I'm going to believe in intercession. It comes by anointing. Intercession is prayer that puts you in the middle between somebody else's need and God, praying as though the need were your own. The story isn't over. The army of Sennacherib was struck with a plague that kills thousands of them overnight. Sennacherib hears this, and he grabs his army and heads back to Nineveh. He never returns. But God wasn't done with him yet. He allowed him to return. Then in Nineveh, his own sons strike him down and kill them in the pagan temple. God changes circumstances by miraculous intervention. He lifts us out of our circumstances. He makes us soar like eagles. He enthrones and he dethrones leaders. He plants and he uproots. He is incomparable. When you get letters like that from the devil, let God read it. God will address it. If we would be honest, we can attest for a while that Satan had claimed us. Satan had drained us. Satan had used us for a while. But sin has stained us. But if we look at it, we'd be honest, we would admit that there for a while we were heirs, not disowned. Just dislocated and disjointed while living beneath our privileges. Elvis Presley wrote a song, and I paraphrase it. He says, Satan gave a letter to the postman. He put it in his sack. Bright and early the next morning, he brought the letter back. I wrote upon it, returned to sender, address unknown. No such number, no such zone. God is still at work with his people. Every time it seems like he's not there, you can know that he's changing things in your life. You see, your position is not your condition. God has more for you than what you can ever expect. If you need help sorting out your social and domestic matters, go to God's word. Spread that need before the Lord. Trust him. He's done so much for us. There's living proof that you can trust him. The Bible says that what he did, he divided the nations. He preserved Noah. He supervised the rise of Gentile power. He delivered the Jews from Egypt. Came in human form. Offered himself as a living sacrifice. Rose from the dead. And poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. I believe that these are some facts of history that tell us that we can trust him. I don't know about you, but I'm going to trust him at his word. Even though the storms may rise and strong winds may blow, I'll take him at his word. He tells me that I have sonship status with him by virtue of Christ. I have to take him at his word. He says that I will reign with him in heaven when this life is over. I have to take him at his word. He says that I have a mansion awaiting for me in heaven. I'm going to take him at his word. He says for me to fight the good fight and to race in order to get my crown. I'm going to take him at his word. When I think about what he's done, in him I have new life. That's regeneration. I have now been called forgiven. That's justification. I have a key to the house. That's adoption. I don't have to worry about how I'm going to put the bill for breaking the law. That's redemption. I will one day see my Savior again. That's glorification. Trusting in God pays good wages. Hold on to God's unchanging hand, no matter what the circumstances are. When you get up in the morning, say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. When you go to bed at night, saying, I dare not trust the sweetest rain, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. He's a mighty good God. You ought to trust him. I trust him with all that I have. He's brought me from a long way. Took some things out of my life that I thought I needed. Brought in some new things, if you will. I know when he touched me. The old preacher says that I've been changed ever since. I looked around and my hands, they were new. Arthritic, but new. I looked at my feet and they were too. Ever since that day, I've been running, running for the Lord. Run on for Jesus. Run on.
Oh, what a word today. What a word. Come on, let's give God some praise here. Hallelujah. Did not our hearts burn while she ministered us by the way? Hallelujah. Trust in the Lord. Tell your neighbor, you got mail. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We want you to know today, if you are not saved, that you have mail from God. And the word is, whosoever will, let him come. So if you're not saved today, we want to offer Christ to you as we stand in the church today. Those that might not know Christ and the pardon of your sins, this is a good time to turn your life over to him, to put your trust in one that you know will work things out for your good. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust, yeah, in the Lord. Every day I will trust, yeah, in the Lord until I die. There one today, come by, let a Christian experience Canada baptism. The Lord says, today can be your day. All you have to do is be submissive and surrender your life to the Lord. Even if you don't want to join this church, the main thing is you join Jesus. You have a relationship with him. Come give me a hand and give God your heart. If you're here today, we'll send you wherever you want to go. But you get Jesus. Leave here today that know that if you don't wake up in the morning, everything is going to be all right. Will you come? Will you come? Yeah. Battle. Gonna sail the battlefield. Yeah. Well, maybe you're not here today. Maybe you're at home. Maybe you're in your car, wherever you might be. The Lord is there. I want you to just pray this simple prayer with me. Say, dear Lord, I come to thee, a sinner that needs to be saved. Forgive me for all of my sins. Take me and own me as your child. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Now stir up the gift that is in me, that I might do your holy will. If you prayed that prayer, you're saved today. I say to you, get into some Bible-believing church where you can grow and mature in the Word of God. If there's someone here today that has a heavy load on you. You've been carrying around all week. This is a good time to come to the altar and give it to the Lord. He said, casting all your cares upon me, because I care it for you. If it's your desire, come right now and lay it at Jesus' feet. Come and present your case, your situation. Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's for your family. Maybe it's for your relationship. Maybe it's for your country, for your state, for your city, for your community. Maybe it's for Ukraine. Come and lay it at Jesus' feet. Oh, it's a good time. It's a good time to take everything to God in prayer. But we serve a God that is able to do all things but fail. If Reverend Kitchen will prepare to lead us in prayer, I want you to just stretch forth your hands toward the altar today and say, Lord, here it is. Here it is. I give it to you, Lord. Whatever the situation is, I turn it over to you. I turn it over to you. Let's pray with the preacher.
Gracious and almighty God,
hear us today.
Again, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, again, for all of your grace, all of your mercy.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you because it was you that bestowed blessings.
Yes, Lord.
Upon us this day. And Father, we beheld the beauty of this, your day.
Thank you, Lord.
And we say thank you.
Thank you.
Here we are, Father, around this altar.
My Lord.
God, again, we need you.
We need you, Lord.
Can't get along without
you. Yes, we need you.
Just on yesterday, God, tragedy struck our minds.
My Lord, my Lord.
10 people lost their lives.
Have mercy, Lord.
In the grocery store.
Yes, have mercy.
We need you.
We need you, Lord.
God, our minds.
Yes.
God, our hearts.
Please, please.
You got the answers.
Yes.
We trust.
Trust.
That you're going to make it all right.
Yeah, Lord.
Bless now your word.
Uh-huh.
Bless Dr. Rich.
Please, Lord.
Continue to give her strength.
Yes.
Continue to lift her up.
Uh-huh.
Bless all these women today.
Yes, Lord.
Father, give them strength.
Thank
and give
you.
Them wisdom. Yes. Give them power. Yes. Give them knowledge.
Yes, Lord.
That, Father, they can continue to move forward.
Do, Lord.
In your will,
ways
and works.
Yes, Lord.
Father, heal our country.
Please, Lord.
Heal our nation.
Please, Lord.
Father, those that stand in the need of physical healing.
Yes.
Those that stand in the need of mental healing.
Yes. Have
heal in the name of
heal
Jesus.
Now.
Set free.
In the name of
in
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Make whole.
Uh-huh.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We give you honor and glory.
Uh-huh.
We say amen.
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 Amen. On your way back, tell them, I'm gonna treat everybody right. Yeah, I'm gonna treat everybody by the right. Yeah, Lord, I'm going to treat everybody by the right until I
y'all. a good time in the Lord from 7:30 this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, everyone who have participated on our program, both at 7:30, 10:45. God is just so awesome, doing a great thing. I thank the committee for blessing me with this opportunity to serve as your mistress of ceremony. And it's a joy to see your faces. I just returned to in-person service last month, so they're working me like a Hebrew slave. They forgot I was on vacation for 2 years. But praise be the Lord. That's why I had to come out of them shoes. You know, when you're wearing tennis shoes and house shoes, feet have to adjust again. But it's truly been a blessing. Thank you, Sister Winston, for that tribute and everyone else. Dr. Rich. Dr. Rich, Dr. Rich. What a rich word. She lived up to her name, didn't she? Woo-hoo! Praise God. God bless you. Always good to see you. So we will have our remarks from Sister Tracy Ariyami and our final remarks and benediction from our Honorable Reverend Dr. Ralph Steed. So thank you again. Pray you have a great rest of the day and enjoy Jesus.
Wow, what a day we have had today on this Women's Day. Good afternoon, church, to the king of this house, Pastor Steed, to the queen of this house, Sister Steed, to the deacons, mothers, members, friends, minister, to our amazing mistress of ceremony, Dr. Sarita. Reverend Dr. Sarita, I'm about to call you Steed. Reed. Reed rhyme with Steed. Let's give it up again for our mistress of ceremony. You know, our mission is to, for the women's ministry, our mission is to glorify God and to edify humanity. And I think we have truly glorified God today. I want to thank everyone that participated in the program. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank all of you for coming out and supporting the women today. I want to thank our musicians, our masterful choir director, Adrian, Steve, Gerard, Cousin Paget. Thank you guys so much. And our award-winning Women's Day Choir. Let's give them another hand. We have a Grammy award-winning Women's Day Choir. They deserve a Grammy today. I want to thank Nicole for our lovely programs. I want to thank the board for allowing us to do the programs. And Deacon Dillard, thank you guys so much. We appreciate you. I want to thank Sister Bradshaw for beautifying our stage here. Pulpit with her lovely flowers. I want to thank Sister Brooks for her Sunday school lesson today. She gave an amazing lesson today in Sunday school. Sister Wes, thank you so much. And who else do I need to thank? Okay, thank everybody. Thank everybody. And I want you all to meditate on our scripture, which is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So meditate on that as you go about your day today. And Reverend Dr. Rich, you've got mail. Thank you so very much for that wonderful word. And on behalf of the women's ministry, we have a token of love that we want to bless you with. We want to thank you so very much for coming out and sharing with us today to help us in our celebration. God bless you. And God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much.
Praise God. Let's give Sister Tracy a hand. Amen. And Sister Hammond and their staff for putting together such a wonderful program today. Amen. For this Women's Day. Truly, we have enjoyed. I always look forward to Women's Day because there's always new talent that is being discovered. Amen. See, if you don't give people a chance to do something, you don't know what they can do. Hello, somebody. Amen. So every year, somebody new seems to step up. Amen. And I just thank God for you. Amen. We just need to stir up that gift that is in us so we can share it with somebody else. God didn't give you fruit to let it die. Come on, somebody. We need to learn how to share it. And so again, our hats off to all of the women in this great choir. Come on, let's live it up for them. Amen. Amen. Our musicians, thank you so much. And Dr. Rich, awesome word. Amen. We thank God for you today. Amen. I didn't know what route you was going, but praise God. Hallelujah. She showed us how to trust, didn't it? When we are down to nothing and don't know which way to go, God has a way out for us. Amen. We thank God for that. Thank God for you today who are here. Give yourselves a hand. You've been a lovely audience. Amen. Again, we thank Brother Pageant's cousin for filling in for him today. Amen. He knows if we had the money, we would have him here because he knows how to play that bass guitar. Hallelujah. Amen. I can imagine him and Pageant playing together. Glory to God. Amen. Again, Evangelist Ratcliffe, who preached the early service, praise God for her. Amen. For the marvelous job that she have done. And again, we thank everyone who's listening in to our broadcast today. May God bless you and God keep you. And again, another hat off to Dr. Reed. Amen. Praise God. If there's nothing else, graduates, all graduates who are here, will you please stand? All the graduates who are here, praise God. Praise God. Amen. May God bless you in your new chapter in life. Amen. Welcome to the real world. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We so. Is there anything else? We ain't going to talk about that today. Let's stand as we get ready to go. Everybody say, everybody say, yeah. Everybody say, amen, amen. Everybody say, get up. Everybody say, yeah. Everybody say, again, we thank Miss Edwards for coming and sharing with us. Amen. Like she stated, get out and vote. Amen. Let us look to the Lord. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, amen. Praise God. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, I love you. Have a blessed day, blessed week. Love you. Love you, mama.